Hey guys, welcome to the very first episode of the Therapy Room podcast. I'm so happy that you decided to take the time out of your day to listen to me talk. I mean, it really does mean a lot to me because honestly, I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing. So yeah, thanks. But before we get into today's topic, I wanted to start off by introducing myself and the podcast. My name is Zipporah. You know, like the Old Testament, Moses' wife, let my people go, that Zipporah, Prince of Egypt Zipporah. Have you ever seen that movie? It's iconic, amazing. Go check it out. But yeah, I mean, honestly, most people just call me Zip, so you can too. So I'm going to be the voice primarily coming through your speakers, although every once in a while I will be having guests on. I'm not sure how soon I'll be in the near future, far future. I'm not sure, but that is my intention. So I decided to make this podcast because I've been itching to do something creative beyond writing poetry and without ever having to really show my face. I mean, I wouldn't call myself an avid listener of podcasts, but I am a huge fan of the H3 podcast, and so I was like, fuck it, let's just go for it. I decided that the name of the podcast should be The Therapy Room, because I know it's ironic, but, or something, because I hate going to therapy. Or rather, I guess I haven't had the most positive experiences about going to therapy, that I decided I wanted to instead work through my emotions in an environment that I controlled and also had a huge audience. that was supposed to be a joke, but I don't think it was really that funny. But anyway, if you were expecting to glean some valuable information that could potentially help your life, I'm not sure you've come to the right place. I mean, I hope that the conclusions that I come to also help you, but the gag is that this is me trying to be my own therapist to work through my own trauma. So with that, let's get into today's topic, which is my coming out story. So I wanted to start off with this topic because I think my sexuality really influences and has influenced a lot of the decisions in my life. So when I think about my coming out story, I don't think of a single event, but a series of moments that really influenced how I perceive myself today. I mean, I'm a Black queer Jew, and I'm not gonna lie, being different in literally every aspect of my life has been challenging, but being gay has definitely taken up a lot of space in my mind. And I guess I always knew I was gay. I mean, I didn't know what gay was when I was younger, but I definitely had quote unquote gay feelings. And one of my first memories is being at the store with my mom when I was like, I don't know, 3 or 4, and like wandering away from her to one of the aisles to these like group of girls and just running up to the one that I thought was the prettiest. So I'm pretty sure I was gay from inception or conception, or you know, one of those words. Although now I'm coming to the understanding that these labels we place on things, especially on sexuality, are not necessarily meaningless, but for me are only energized by the power we give them. Which actually might come across a little cliche, but it holds true for me. And so for a long time, I didn't really know that being gay was necessarily bad. I like no one told me on a regular basis that it was bad, especially my parents, like, which I guess kind of makes my journey so interesting, because a lot of the trauma I faced was emotional and self-inflicted. And I'm really trying to be gentle with myself nowadays and kind with myself as I say that, because I was young and whatever. But beyond that, the feelings and emotions I was having at the time were valid no matter what. So So when I, but like, you know, when I think about my coming out story and like the next kind of iconic or major event in my life, when it came to discovering my sexuality, was when I was in middle school. And so, as I mentioned, I'm Jewish, and growing up, I went to a private Jewish school where I was literally the only Black kid there. I mean, literally. Because I grew up in Ohio, and that shit already whack. Just like, you know, it's a sea of non-diversity over there. But I know I honor that experience. I honor, like, where I came from. You know, it's made me who I am today. But growing up, the only Black kid in a Jewish school was definitely hard for me, because I felt like I already had a lot of issues of not feeling worthy and needing to assimilate. And so adding my sexuality on top of that, where I found myself falling in love with my best friend in seventh grade, you know, leading to like a lot of pain and confusion. And I know a lot of queer people have the story of falling in love with their best friend. It's a really common experience. And for me, it kind of shaped how I viewed myself as an individual and as a person who would be desirable to someone else, if that makes sense. Like it played a huge role in shaping my self-esteem. And even as I say this, I feel this like resistance in my chest. I never thought it would be this hard, honestly, to go back into these memories. But it really has been challenging for me, to say the least. I had these like two best friends in grade school, and we did pretty much everything together. I mean, it got to the point where if teachers saw us, even just one of us, they would know that the other two were not far behind. So yeah, we were all pretty much attached at the hip. So my one friend in this group, let's just call her Lacey, she was the one I liked, and we played basketball together, and we had sleepovers pretty often. There was this one time where we were having a sleepover, and I remember I was falling asleep to the movie Mean Girls. I think it had just come out or something, and Lacey was on the couch, and I was on the floor. I actually did doze off, and I remember she started poking me to wake up, and we paused the movie, and we went to the spare bedroom in the basement. And I remember she got into the bed and went underneath the covers like it was nothing. Like, oh yeah, I'm just with my friend Zip. We're just going to sleep together. Like, you know, like girls do, like whatever. Like best friends do. And so, but I just stood there with a million thoughts going through my head. Like my heart was starting to race. And I was like, are we going to touch? Is she going to kiss me? Am I going to kiss her? Her parents are here. What if she tells them? What if they see? What about her siblings? So I was just standing there, like, thinking all these things, and she was just staring at me, like, what the fuck is she doing? Like, why is she just looking at me? Why is this just awkward silence? You know? And I ended up making up some excuse to where I ended up sleeping on the floor. But in the morning, I woke up before she did, and I climbed into bed with her. And, you know, I got all those butterflies and those, like, puppy love feeling and, you know, young love. And I know it sounds so creepy now, but I literally just stared at her. And I was thinking that maybe she could like me too. That, like, maybe the feelings that I had were not one-sided, because if I felt them, then that means she had to feel them too, right? I mean, that's how feelings works. I mean... right? Like at the time, this is what I was thinking. And so at that point, I was tempted to touch her, or I don't know, or at least like tell her how I felt. But I mean, at this point in my childhood, my self-esteem was already getting chipped away, and I ended up not having the courage. And she just, you know, woke up normally and everything was fine. But that moment stuck with me because it was the first time that I really recognized my feelings for her in like a physical way. Like I was physically attracted to her, and I didn't really know at the time what that meant. Yeah, and then like, you know, not long after that, I remember I was watching some award show and I was super, super obsessed with Orlando Bloom. And I guess it makes sense in hindsight because, you know, he was very feminine and pretty. And at the time, he had just like got off of like the Lord of the Rings. And, you know, in that he looked very feminine. And I was like so into that. But anyway, I remember he took his shirt off and he was like all ripped and like muscly and like sweaty. And I was just like, I just looked at him and I was like, I don't think I like that anymore. And I remember I walked back into the hallway and I was like, I think I'm gay. And I instantly got this tingly feeling all throughout my body and like the strong sense of knowing. And I was like, holy shit, I think I'm gay. And then right after that, I was like praying to God, like, what the fuck? Why am I gay, black, and Jewish? There's literally no way I could be like this like triple threat. And at the time, I still identified as like female. And I was like, oh, I'm just like a gay, black, Jew, female, woman. Like, fuck, like I'm so fucking screwed in this life. And like, granted, I was like, you know, 12 or 13 and I was thinking these things. But I mean, I wasn't so far off, given how our world is. But yeah, I mean, now I identify as like non-binary and they, them pronouns mostly, although sometimes I'll still go by she, her. It just depends. But yeah. So fast forward back to that summer, like after that event, after I watched Orlando Bloom like take his shirt off, I went to camp, and that's where I really started to mull more on what my feelings meant. I think falling in love with the counselor at camp is a very, very, very common queer story, mine really isn't that different, or at least I don't think so. I mean, I went to this Jewish camp, obviously, called Camp Livingston, right before I started 8th grade, and oh boy, that was definitely a time full of hormones and feelings that I had no idea what to deal with, so I kind of expressed them in not so healthy ways, but I'll get to that in a second. So yeah, I had this camp counselor, let's just call her Stephanie. Let's just call her Stephanie. And let's just say that she was definitely the prettiest girl I had ever seen. And not to mention, she was attractive and, like, you know, attentive and nice and fun. And, I mean, all the things you're supposed to be as a camp counselor. But for me, it was like I was getting special treatment. And even though I knew I wasn't. So I went through great lengths to try to get her to notice me, you know. And to the point where I would refuse to eat or, like, participate in things just to get her attention. Like, it was crazy. And I'm trying really hard not to judge myself right now because, I mean, well, I was a kid and now I'm an adult, but it's still really hard for me to not get embarrassed about it. But yeah, I would just do anything that I could to gain her attention. And I think at this time, I was really struggling within myself because I recently discovered I was gay and that I loved my best friend and had no one to talk to about it. But by this time in my life, I had moved away from being the rambunctious and outspoken kid to a more reserved and shy one. And I definitely didn't feel comfortable talking to my parents about anything I was going through emotionally. Like, even if it wasn't just like me being gay, like I rarely talked to my parents about anything I was going through at the time. And even now, like I'm very private about my feelings, my emotions, who I'm dating, who I'm not, like those kind of things. Just never been that close to my parents in that way. And I think it's like I felt I had to go through things on my own because I was just too embarrassed to express myself. I was just too embarrassed to be like, oh yeah, I'm gay. I think I'm gay. I'm having these feelings. Like when you're a kid, you're just like, okay, everyone around me is straight, but I'm the only gay one. So if I told them, how would they know what it felt like to be gay? And that's what I was thinking at the time. And also, it was already so different. I didn't want to be put more, I didn't want more spotlight on me, especially with my parents. But at the same time, I went out of my way to gain attention from my peers and my camp counselor at the camp. So it's interesting how that kind of played out. I mean, there was even this one time where it was like 9 at night and I asked my friend Hannah, let's just call her Hannah. Yeah. I asked her to ask my camp counselor, Stephanie, where I was, to go ask the camp counselor where I was and then I would go hide at one of the other cabins just to see her reaction. Like, so fucking crazy, so crazy. And what's crazier is that she actually did it, and it turned out to be this whole big thing where Stephanie searched for me, and she was concerned, trying to understand what I was doing and how I was feeling. And I think what I really wanted was to be seen and held. Like, I literally just wanted someone to hold me and tell me that I was meaningful and valuable, and that being myself was ideal, and that it didn't matter that I was so different, and that I was valued, and that I was valued anyway, you know? And I do think that happened, because that did happen to some extent when I was at camp, and I was just acting out because I wanted more of that validation. I think at the time I was telling some people that I was bi because I thought I was attracted to guys too, but in hindsight, I think I was just forcing myself to like guys, or like I was just following some other people's lead, and I was just trying to imitate what was around me. That's not to say, though, that the bi people don't exist or are not valid members of the queer community. I think a lot of people think that being bi is just like a pit stop to becoming lesbian or gay, or that you're just trying to play the field, which I think is total and utter bullshit. And that's all I have to say. It's just bullshit. I don't think that's fair to say. I think we should allow everyone to have their own experience and not to judge it. Or at least, if we're judging it, not to express the judgment, you know? Just let people be. So, yeah, I mean, eventually Lacey did find out that I liked her and everything, and she was pretty cool about it, but obviously she didn't feel the same way, and I definitely think I took that personally. Like, it was my first real experience with rejection, and I didn't know how to handle it. Like, it wasn't just that I loved her, but she was also my friend, and it was really hard for me to separate the two. It was like, if I could have such intense feelings for someone, how could they not like me back, or how could they not have them back? Like, what was wrong with me? And it wasn't just that what was wrong with me, it was like, why couldn't she see me? And like, in that chip in my self-worth regarding my sexuality and my relationships continued well into high school and even college and today, I would say. But high school was a different ball game, because I had grown more comfortable in my sexuality, in the sense that I knew I was gay and that I wasn't straight. Like, there wasn't this war going on inside of me, because for a while I was scared of what being gay meant. It was just very anxiety inducing, because I didn't know what it looked like to be in a gay relationship, and I also had grown to like hate myself and like think that I was less than because I was gay. And it was largely because I was alone in it. I didn't know anyone else that was gay, and when you are the only one in something, it's very easy to get down on yourself and your worth, because society isn't validating that aspect of who you are. However, that did start to change a little bit when I was in high school, because that's when I started watching two of the most iconic shows to ever exist, and that's The L Word and a show called South of Nowhere. Now, for those of you who don't know what The L Word is, basically, it's a show that aired on Showtime, and it's like, basically, it's like a lesbian soft porn soap opera that came out in the early 2000s, and it was forever, and it will forever hold a special place in my heart. It's like where I learned what having sex with a girl was like, or like at least the idealized version of it. And I got a peek inside what it was like to have a queer group of friends who did everything together, and just what it was like to be queer in LA, which was so far removed from where I was in Ohio. Like, and South of Nowhere, I mean, that was a more PG queer show that aired on The N in like 2005 to 2008 or something like that. And it showed the life of a girl who like fell in love with another girl in high school, and they eventually started going out, and there's all this drama. It was just so relatable to me because like I was in high school, and like, you know, I had all these feelings I couldn't express, and I wanted a girlfriend, and like I was kind of like living vicariously through this show. And so at the time it was just super comforting to watch. But yeah, I will say that my desire to be in a long-term relationship, or at least to have a girlfriend, was definitely heightened when I entered the ninth grade. I feel that's an experience that most people wanted when they were in high school. But like, once again, I found myself to be the only queer person out and open to dating. This was back in like 2009, 10. So being gay really wasn't that in. And like, what I mean to say is that like society's view of gay people has definitely changed in the past decade. And when I went to high school, it wasn't necessarily frowned upon, but it definitely wasn't openly accepted. So finding like-minded queers that were open, much less willing to date, was definitely a challenge for me. And once again, like, I looked at the challenges I had as a personal affront, not circumstantial. So during this time, I was carrying with me the feelings of isolation, depression, of not being good enough, et cetera, et cetera. And every setback I experienced, I kind of cataloged it as a reason why I wasn't good enough, if that makes sense. And at this time, I really didn't have any friends, so I wasn't bouncing ideas off anyone. I was just swimming in my own self-hate while looking around in my life like, see, no one likes you, you're gay, you have no friends, et cetera, et cetera. So several things happened during this time. One of the more prominent things is that I turned to the internet. For the first 3 years of high school, I primarily turned it to queer chat rooms for validation. I wasn't being seen in my day-to-day real life, so turning to the internet was like the next best thing for me. And I honestly met a lot of cool people there, and I had a lot of high schooler experiences with it. Like, what I mean is like, there would be like a lot of drama and heartbreak on these forums and like these chat rooms and all those things. I don't know, it was like I was having a real high school experience with a bunch of strangers, and it was like the closest thing I had to like people who are like me, you know. But I guess like in my real life, I liked girls, like I got my heart broken, etc., etc. I tried my best to be vulnerable and open, and every time I did that, I got burned. So with time, I became more and more closed off, and I wouldn't really go out of my way to talk to people. It wasn't until like my senior year that I met my fellow weirdos and was really able to just be myself. But it was also during this time that I came out to my mom. Like, I think that one day I just decided that it was time, and I randomly just went up to her and was like, "Mom, I think I'm gay." And she was like, "What?" And I was just like, "How?" She was like, "What? How do you know? Like, you're so young, yada yada yada." You know, the stuff a parent would typically say to their gay kid. And at the time, I was like, "What do you mean? How do I know? How do you know you're straight? Like, I would imagine it's the same way I know I'm gay. Like, you like the opposite sex, and it's the same with me, except I like the same sex." And to her credit, she didn't throw me out. She didn't call me names. She didn't hate me. She only questioned how I felt and why I felt it, which I guess is what I was doing at the time as well. But it definitely feels better to get support from your parents than not. And so all things considered, I got off pretty light on that one. But I didn't tell my dad, not because I was necessarily afraid of his reaction, but my parents were divorced and I lived with my mom, and it was just easier to tell her because she would just tell my dad and I wouldn't have to really do anything. You know, I would just sit back and like, you know, he'd hear it from the grapevine, you know. Also, my dad's side of the family was like more homophobic. I'm not saying my dad would have been mean to me or cast me out, but I did know that gay people or gay men specifically creeped him out. He didn't really understand that lifestyle, I guess, quote unquote. But beyond my mom and my friends, I wasn't out to the rest of my family. And that's mainly because we just weren't that close. Yeah. So like not long after I came out, I actually went to college, and boy, was my freshman year lit as fuck. Lit as fuck. I immediately went to the queers on campus and almost like immediately had a group of friends who were just as weird and gay as I was. And it was a really beautiful time for the first 3 years, especially because like I had new sexual experiences. I kissed girls, and it was like I was having a coming out party, or like I was being fully embraced for the first time in my life. And that's not to say that I still wasn't struggling with the same issues I had when I first fell in love with my best friend. Like my self-worth when it came to my sexuality, my desirability in sexual or romantic relationships, and that heavily followed me throughout college. There was just one girl I liked, especially, let's just call her Willow. And man, I crushed on her hard for the first 3 years of college. We made out in her car, and like ever since then, I was like hooked. And I don't even know about like what about her really drew me in, because she was kind of heavily into drugs, and I was kind of straight edge at this point. I mean, I hadn't even had alcohol until I was in college, but like she was so sexy, and I also felt like sexual tension between us, and it drove me insane. But I never really gathered the courage to tell her how I felt or to make my affections known, although I really do think she knew, and at the time I thought she did know and was just straight up rejecting me. And I thought that because she herself wasn't being straight up with me about her feelings, both of us were not saying, like, I don't know, she, like, for me, I thought she knew and was just rejecting me. And I thought that because she herself wasn't being straight up with me about her feelings, both of us were not saying anything and assuming shit. Although I'm pretty sure it didn't affect her as much as it did me. But yeah, I didn't have a serious relationship with someone until I was like 22. And I met her on Tinder, of all places. I met her in the summer before my fifth year at school, because I was a fifth year. And it was like pretty much love at first sight, or almost love at first sight. I mean, we had been texting each other a lot before we officially met. And when we did, it was like fireworks were going off. I mean, I guess now I can step back and label that connection as unhealthy, which in many ways it was. But I think doing so would be a disservice to the emotions that we were both feeling at the time and the thrill that it was. I think it's really important to understand where you are or where you were at a given moment in your life and give yourself grace and love, because we all go through shit and we all do things that we wish we could have done differently. But, you know, focusing on the gift that moment was and lessons you hopefully learned. But, you know, like, girl, my hope would be to focus on the gift of that moment and the lessons you learned, hopefully learned, integrated. So yeah, this is kind of long. My coming out story really wasn't one like single moment, but like a series. And I still struggle with my self-worth when it comes to relationships. But yeah, it's just interesting to reflect on my life in these moments without getting too caught up in them. I think right now I'm the most confident I've ever been in my sexuality. And if you're someone right now listening who's struggling with that, well, fuck it, you're not alone, and far from it. I know I hated hearing that when I was going through my shit, but it's true. You're loved, you're seen, you have a place in this world. Anyway, yeah, thanks guys. I don't really have much to say. Thanks for listening to my podcast, my story. Thanks for giving me a space. And I'll be doing a new podcast every new podcast episode every week on Wednesday. So I hope to see you there and have a great day. And remember to be kind to yourself.